Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, August 11th, the year of our Lord, 2024, and this is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. It is, once again, an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray this will be a time of peace and renewal for you. And it is our custom, our practice, that at the beginning of the podcast, we begin simply by breathing and understanding that every breath we take is the breath of life, a life that we receive as a gift from God. So let's do just that. Let's just take in the breath of life. And take it in, and don't just hold it, but savor it. And give thanks to God for it. And as you breathe, and as you savor, call to mind the people and the places and the situations that light you up inside, the great loves of your life. Give thanks to God for all of it. And as you breathe, and as you focus on these things, perhaps open your arms as wide as you can and stretch out your fingers. Turn your face toward the heavens. And in this posture, in this frame of mind, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin just to the left of where you found today's podcast. You'll see a tab there that says Sermon Notes. Right below there, I believe, you can just tap or click, and that bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Bread of life, you taught us to put away bitterness and anger, and with tender-hearted kindness to share the fruit of our labor with the needy. Strengthen us by your grace, that in communion with you we may forgive one another and live in love as Christ loved us. Amen. Friends, our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of John in the 6th chapter. We begin with verse 35, and then we jump ahead, and we'll read verses 41 through 51. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me.' Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is come from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's take a moment to pray. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for the gift of your word, alive, living among us. And we pray for your presence and your guidance here in this moment, that we could receive from you the gift that is your word for us. Help us to hear what it is you're saying to us, where it is you want us to focus our attention. As we pray, O God, that you would save us from distraction, we pray that you would save us from misinterpretation, so that we could truly receive the gift that is before us this day. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, we continue on in this sixth chapter of John, this bread of life discourse, the story of Jesus performing a miracle, feeding 5,000 people, and the impact it has, and his need to try to help them understand what's happened and what it means for their lives. And in meditating on it this week and in trying to come up with a few words that I might share in something that is so dense, so rich and full, to just take a few pieces of this bread of life, to take them into ourselves and to consider and chew on them, if you will, for a while, take them into our lives and our minds. It's struck me that it might be helpful. It's been helpful for me to think of this story from the perspective of the folks in the crowd. At the beginning of the chapter, the massive crowd of people that have come because they have physical needs. Some of them have experienced firsthand, or they've heard from a reliable source that Jesus is working signs and wonders, miracles, that the blind see and the lame walk and the hungry are fed. And so on that day, this massive group of people experiences such a miracle. Imagine being in that crowd. Maybe you suffer from chronic pain, or maybe you suffer from chronic hunger, or maybe you suffer from both. And there before you is this one that seems there's something about this guy. He's different than the others. Other prophets have come and go, and you're half suspicious that he might be a charlatan like the others. But then you hear the stories of others. You see the miracles that have been received, and you want one for yourself. And you've been sitting and listening to the teaching, and your stomach is rumbling. And then they ask you to sit down. And so everybody sits. And then the teacher himself, the rabbi himself, comes and feeds you. Gives you this portion that is more than you can eat. And you look around you and everyone is eating until they're fully satisfied and there are leftovers. And you live in a world where there's never leftovers. You're lucky if there's enough for that meal. And so you've eaten to the full, and people are looking at each other in this same kind of disbelief. And among this crowd, they think to themselves, and I'm sure they begin to talk amongst themselves, wait a minute. We need this guy here. Let's convince him to stay here. Let's force him to stay here. And he could be our king, and we would be healed, and we would be fed. There would always be bread on the table, and we'd always have plenty of fish to eat. And Jesus gets wind of this. He sees where the thinking is going, and he knows he needs to retreat from them. Because they're missing the point. And the disciples don't know what to do, so they get in the boat and they go. But the further they get away from Jesus, the harder things go. The harder they have to row, and the less ground they make, and the wind blows, and the storms rage. But then they look up, and there, walking on the water, is their miracle-working rabbi, who assures them, it is I. And they come to that realization, and the assurance and the chaos stops, and they find themselves at the other shore. And then we consider the story of that next day when those crowds that had been fed come looking for Jesus. They don't find him. They don't find the disciples. They realize he's on the other side of the lake, and they go to find him. And he sees them coming, and he knows what's on their minds. They want more bread. Of course they want more bread, right? Wouldn't you? Staying in the mindset of the crowd, rowing or walking or however it is they got to the other side where Jesus is, and now hungry again. And they ask a question, how'd you get here? We didn't see you leave. And Jesus dispenses with that, like, let's get to the point here. You came because you wanted more bread. But I'm telling you, you're missing the point here. What I'm trying to show you is a more excellent way. That there is far more to life than working and paying and living and dying. There is an eternal truth and eternal hope that I embody. And I know this will be a lot for you to take in. More than your minds might be able to settle in. But I have seen God. I've come down from God to show you a more excellent way. That life is more rich and more beautiful than you can imagine. There is life beyond your rumbling stomach. There is life beyond your chronic pain. There is life beyond your scattered mind. And I've come to bring it to you. I've come to bring it to you. But I ask this of you. You need to believe in me. You need to believe in me beyond just mere trust. You need to believe in me beyond just the satisfaction of your curiosity or your logical mind. You need to believe in me in such a way that you can be like me. that your life would be grounded in the kind of truth that I'm bringing to you. And it is within your ability if you sit here with me, if you find yourself in my presence, in my life, is the essence of a full life, of what it means to be truly alive. Not just your pulse, not just the breath up and down in your lungs, not just existence, but to be fully alive. To be fully alive in my presence. And they're hearing this, and it seems wonderful, but then they kind of shake it off like, oh, he's dazzling us. We know who you are. We know your dad and your mom, Joseph and Mary. All right, I taught you guys Hebrew school. That is to say, you're ordinary like us, which is true and not true at the same time. I need you to understand, he says, this life that I live, my presence in front of you is a gift for you. Your ancestors, we, fellow Jews, we share this salvation history, the story of Moses and the Israelites, their liberation from captivity in Egypt, and just when they thought they were going to die in the desert, they realized they were completely dependent upon God, and God fed them. God fed them a food to keep them alive. He gave them water they needed to drink. But that food and that water, everybody still died. But the life, the mystery of the life is eternal. I'm that life. I'm that life. And if you'll pause long enough to connect the dots backwards in this story, you saw that we started with 5 loaves and a few fish. And did you hear the story of the man who had been sitting by the pool for 38 years, afflicted? In my presence, he picked up his mat and he walked, and you argued with me about the details of it. Some of your leaders really got on my case about that because they couldn't see the depth of what had just happened. I call you into the depth. I call you that when you hear the word life, you don't just think about enough food or shelter, as important as those things are. That's why I provide them for you. But that you open your hearts and your minds to the miracle and the mystery and the beauty that's all around you. Begin in your homes. Look at your wife and your kids or your friends. You love them. I love them even more. The person across the street, the neighbor who bothers you, I love him, her. I love them too. I love them all. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Each and every one. You see, your very being is miraculous. Your very being is of God, and I've come to show you the way of love, my love, which will well up in you a hope for each new day. And in that hope, you will find peace. And in that peace, you will find joy. And those things can never be taken from you. And it requires one thing. It requires you to abide in my love. It requires you to believe and to walk in the way and to encourage others in the way. And as this way changes your life, you need to share it and pour it out. And it's not without risk. It will challenge you. It might physically break you, but the life that has been given to you, this gift, it will never be taken away from you. It's an eternal truth. It's an eternal way, a forever way of being. You can't plot it in the realm of linear time. You can't point to it on a calendar. But when all of this has come to its fullness, when the last chapter is written, you and I will be together in this eternal spirit of hope and peace and love and joy forever. Feast on that good news. It will sustain you now and forever. To which I say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for life and an appreciation for life. Help us to pursue, O God, an abundant life, the kind of life we find in your presence and in the life of your church, your body alive in the world. And we confess, O God, it's hard for us. We're just like these crowds that gathered when you would go about and you'd preach and teach and heal. We're full of questions. And we're full of suspicions and petty doubts and grievances. But you make us aware of these things, and we're grateful for it. And you promise that when we confess them to you, when we admit our frailties, that you'd forgive us and you'd continue to encourage us and lead us and draw us to yourself. Thank you. And so we give you thanks. And we offer you, O God, our hearts and our minds, and you know the joys and the concerns of our hearts, our need for daily bread. Our prayer is that you would touch us or people we love with your healing hand and your mercies. We pray, O God, for this, our country that we live in, and this your good world, that you would lift up leaders of good faith, men and women of good will, people who have come to discover that you, O God, are the bread of life, life eternal. All life. But you know our lives. And you know the complications and the concerns and the celebrations. And we often write these down. We call them prayer lists. For some of us, it might be the things that we worry about, things that keep us up at night, or the events that we're planning, but you know all of it. So we pause for a moment. And we trust that if we share this list with you, that you will fully consider it. And you bless us with a true sense of your presence and an understanding that you hold all of it in your hands. And you will love us and abide with us in the midst of it all. And so we make a quiet space in this time to pay attention to you, to seek to feel your presence among us, to listen for your voice right here and right now. We break our silence. We give you thanks, O God, for the gift of peace, the gift of quiet, the gift that is your presence with us. And in this moment, O God, where your presence is keenly felt, we pray that you hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that each and every one of us do so with the ambition of feasting on the bread of life, life that is truly life, that life itself is beautiful and mysterious and a gift from God. The God that we know in three persons, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses us and bids us peace. Go in peace. Amen.